If you're passionate about sports and looking for a thrill, you need to check out the freshly redesigned XBet. They're calling it the last sports book you'll ever join. I've been playing on XBet, and they really do have it all. Whether odds on basketball, combat sports, or even betting on the next Bitcoin dip. And the best part is, when you win, you get paid quick. But it's not just about placing bets. XBet is a whole experience. They support athletes and sports shows just like ours, and they give back to the community with tons of free bets and cash prize contests. Did I mention they also have a casino now? Spin the slots, play some roulette, or even try your luck at the live tables, all from a mobile platform that lets you enjoy the fun on the go. Whether you're super into sports betting or curious about trying it out, you need a site that makes it fun and easy. That's why you've got to check out XBet. Sign up today using the promo code TOOLSHED and get a generous bonus of up to $1,000 on your first deposit. That's right, promo code TOOLSHED for free cash bonus to kickstart your journey. With so many great UFC cards on the horizon and the fact that baseball season is in full swing, there's never been a better time to play. Make your next bet, XBet.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into episode 234 of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and with me, as usual, is my 80 great co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how are you doing in the future? Because this, we're recording on Monday night. The show is not releasing until Friday. So how are you doing later in the week?
I hope I'm good. I'm hoping I'm still good by Friday, man. Just hopefully we'll still be here. You never know. The world's crazy. But yeah, it's actually been a pretty chill week, I think. There's literally no games for me to go to, which is weird because Greenville's on the road, Columbia's on the road, Asheville's on the road, Gwinnett's on the road. And those are all the ballparks close to me. And they're all, and I don't know what to do. So I'm going to have a full week with like nothing. So I'll have some more time to, I guess, get some work done, I guess. But
yeah,
we'll see how that goes. But yeah, hopefully, yeah. Hopefully on Friday, I'm doing good.
Yeah. On Friday, when everyone's listening to this, I will be down in Virginia visiting family, hence why we're recording the second episode of the week earlier, just so we can get us two episodes out. So I'm not bringing laptop, nothing with me. So I figured this would be not a super time-sensitive episode, so we can get it out on Friday. So again, if you're listening, any stats we reference, obviously will be a few days old at this point. But we got a fun little episode in store today, doing an under-20-year-old prospect mock draft. And joining us for this mock draft is one of the best in the business, one of our good buddies, Mr. Chris Welsh. You can find him on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, obviously over on the In This League Network, Prospect One, and the Fantasy Pros, CBS, and Athletic Podcast. I think I hit it all. He'll tell me if I didn't. Chris, how's it going, bud?
It's going pretty good. I hope Future Me is doing pretty well, too. I wonder, I hope Future Me has all those jobs still. Maybe more. Maybe another one. Maybe I picked up another one. So I'm thinking about Future Me. Current Me's pretty good right now. I actually also passed up going to a little bit of complex action to see you guys. I'm blaming you, even though you have nothing to do with it. But there was a time where we were going to be doing this from my car. I was going to be driving and maybe even on a field. But I'll give you guys some personal time. I got to give you guys the real microphone time. But I'm very happy to be here. Very happy to see both your faces and talking prospects.
Yeah, likewise. And Welsh signed into the room, and obviously it's his usual background with the End This League graphic, all the baseballs and Corbin Carroll autographed jersey and all that. And I'm like, hey, that's not your car, but
it wouldn't have been the first time I'd done a podcast from a car. It might have been the first time I did a podcast while not even driving. I did one with Blessing and Eno I was driving recording some time back. It wouldn't have been the first, but that's the crazy thing. It's funny that we're doing this draft because I'm a purveyor of under 20 prospects living out in Arizona with complex ball and instructs, and that is a lot of what I see, and that is what I was going to go out to. But in every given night I could talk myself into why I have to be out. And that's the discipline of also making sure that I have a future me has a family. So I'm not out every single night. Otherwise future me will not have a family, but I could justify every single night. Oh, I gotta go see this guy. I gotta see that guy. But sometimes I just need to not go, and tonight it was Colt Emerson, Ty Pete, Dylan Head, all playing we're 2 days out. At least when we're recording this was, you guys are listening, it's actually a complex league championship day. But that was one of the final games, and see, but I've already seen them, but it's just I gotta see more. I gotta see more of these guys trying to get them all. More. It's like Pokemon with prospects in the complex. I gotta catch them all, guys.
Gotta see them all.
Yep.
That's an awesome. Yeah. Gotta catch them all. Gotta see them all. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we'll all be out there watching games together in a couple of months. But until then, this little mock draft will hold us over. Before we get into the show, though, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClay. Chris Clegg is at RotoClay. Chris Welsh is at IsItTheWelsh. I am at EricCross04. Show is at ToolshipPod. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Make sure to check out all of our personal platforms in this league. Dynasty Dugout, Toolshed Fantasy for all of our rankings and other fun stuff there. But let's get right into it so we can get as many picks in as possible. Again, the only criteria is got to be under 20 years old. Even if they're 19.96, still counts. 20.01, you're out. You don't count.
What if their birthday's Friday, Cross, and we're recording now?
Don't you throw us in.
I don't know if anybody has that criteria, by the way.
There's only one. I know Carlos Jorge, who might be drafted in this, is 19.92 on my sheet.
Ooh, his birthday is September 22nd, so we're safe.
Okay, still we're good. Okay, I don't think I saw anybody else at least high up in my rankings when I filtered it. That was 19.9 something. So I think
someone
we
will
be
make
good.
Sure to let us all know though. They'll make sure to tweet us and be like, oh, and this is how they sound. They're like, well, guys, actually, and then they'll go on and tell us why we were wrong. So someone will let us know, guys.
Oh, absolutely. All right, draft order will go Welsh, Clegg, myself. Then we'll flip it around, reverse it for the next one. And obviously the first two picks are pretty chalk, but Welsh, who you got first? Not that's any surprise to anybody.
No, the easiest pick of this would be Mr. Jackson Holliday, who may or may not be in the majors in the future. Future us might be talking about major leaguer Jackson Holliday, as that is kind of floating and ruminating out in the space. Though I am dealing with this as well. One thing, cheap plug for my prospect show. One of the things I like to do every single year is I do a Arizona Fall League prediction show since I'm out here and I'm consumed by it. And Jackson Holliday was actually kind of the toughest between them because if he gets called up, probably not going to the AFL. I kind of think he doesn't, and he goes and plays in the AFL. And this is the most predominant teenager in years that we can really think of. 10 homers, 21 stolen bases as we're recording this, a .336 average, a .457 OBP on the year. He's moved three levels, hitting .350. I mean, I remember talking about Matt Mervis last year and how he improved at every stop. And this was a 23-year-old or however old he was at the time. This is a 19-year-old who is having the second best bit of his batting average career so far this year at AAA. I mean, he was doing some damage down in A-ball, but the stolen bases are there, the homers are there, the bats there, everything is hard hit. He is the complete package, and it looks hilarious now, looking back at Holiday versus Drew Jones. And I was a Drew Jones guy, man. So it is a hilarious comparison at this point, because it's not a comparison. This is the number one guy, like you said, chalk of chalk, major leagues, AFL, or beginning of next year. We are going to be seeing, we'll be talking about Jackson Holiday this time next year, probably as an exhausted prospect eligible player and going up for Rookie of the Year.
Probably. Yeah. Good chance that he's up first half of next year, and it's adding to that youth movement there in Baltimore. So no surprises, Holiday going one, and maybe a same guy or same first name going number two.
You already typed it in the sheet for me. I didn't have to do it.
Well, yes, I was hoping you were going with anybody. If you went with somebody else, we'd have to have a little bit of
please surprise there. Us. Yeah, surprise yeah. us, Plague.
Sorry, I'm going chalk with Jackson Churio, who Eric put it on the sheet for me before I even picked. But Churio had some concerns. People were kind of panicking a bit first half of the year. They're like, oh man, like he's hitting 245. Like his slug's 400. He had 11 home runs before the All-Star break. Also, he was in the Southern League with the tacky ball, which didn't matter a lot. Like, you look at Churio's like numbers like underlying, and like he really struggled with changeups, and actually like changeups in the Southern League were running a lot more. Those were pitches that were harder to hit because the tacky ball was just seeing so much more movement. Still, we're talking about somebody under 20 in AA who with this tacky ball only struck out 21% of the time and made contact 75% of the time. But since the tacky ball went away, Churio has just been on another level. He's over that span, 137 plate appearances, slashing 352, 409, 568. And those numbers are likely to change. The recording, he'll have played a couple more games when this releases, but the contact rate has jumped 6 percentage points since then. That's incredible, to near 81% contact, which is awesome to see, in 6 home runs. Contact, or the strikeout rate's down, obviously, with the contact rate being up. The power's there. I think Jackson Churio is just an absolute stud. And like I said, these first two were about as chalky as you can get for the under 20 player pool.
Yeah, I don't know why I gave myself the third pick, because this is where it actually starts to get interesting.
Yeah, it's worth fun.
But I feel like I always give myself the last pick in these mock drafts just because. And but I'll just go with a pair of FYPD guys here. I can go like 5-6 different ways here. Got a big cluster of my rankings, but I'll go Max Clark and Walker Jenkins here. Obviously two of the, you know, top 5 picks for FYPDs this year, and they've gotten off to very hot starts down in the Florida Complex League. See Clark in 10 games, 268, 348, 561, 7 extra base hits, 2 home runs, 2 steals, 5-10 walk to strikeout ratio. Walker Jenkins in 12 games, 340, 380, 575, 6 extra base hits, 2 home runs, 3 steals, 3 walks, and 7 Ks. You know, two of the more exciting players in the 2023 draft class. You know, Clark, one of the best field to hit in the prep ranks and maybe even the entire draft class. Double plus run times, developing power. Maybe, you know, I think there's still more power to be unlocked there. You know, we interviewed him. You know, he's got his head on his shoulders, you know, a good head on his shoulders. He's got all the intangibles you look for. Like, this guy's a gamer. So I think he's just going to keep getting better and better. And then Jenkins, again, another one of the better pure hitters in the entire draft class, regardless of prep or college. Got big time power too, solid run times. Both these guys could just be across the board studs, especially if Clark's, you know, power takes a step forward, as I believe it can. You know, I'm looking at probably two future, you know, 5 category impact fantasy guys that I already have top 25 overall for each of them. Actually, I think I put actually top 20 overall. Yeah, I'm back to back 18 and 19 right now in my August update. And I think, you know, this time next year, we're probably talking about them each as top 10 guys. Like, that's the upside we're talking about here. So Clark, Jenkins, 3-4 for me. Back to Clegg for 5.
Yeah, Jenkins was my next highest player ranked that in this age range. So we got to my next guy, and it's Jackson Merrill, who might be called up by the time this is playing on air.
Without San Diego's going right now, yeah.
I mean, he's been playing
Jackson
in left
Merrill,
field.
By the way, over 20, I just want to point out. So I have him at almost 20 and a half. Just want to let you know.
I have him at 19.85. You know. Let's see. Let's confirm before we...
3 days before my birthday, but 2003. So that would be... He is 20.
You're right. Wow. Yeah,
I don't know. I haven't filtered. I don't see Jackson Merrill on my sheet right
now.
Wow.
I don't know. I have Jackson Merrill's birthday. It's not right.
You probably had it a year ahead. If you had him at like 19 and a half, you probably had it instead of 2001.
Yeah. I'm going to look at that right now, actually. Oh, that kills that pick. Jackson Merrill was not under 20. Yeah. His birthday on my sheet is 10/19/03.
And it is 4/19/2003.
That's so weird. Weird.
That would do it.
I have no clue. Well, that answers that. So little embarrassment for Chris Clegg here, but back to the sheet. And
well, I want to give you credit here while you're looking at your list. We're not exactly going and breaking down the hard hit of their birthdays, you know, or the swinging strike rate on the day of the month that they were born.
Right,
so birthdays are, I have screwed up quite a few birthdays on my own sheet. The only thing I think it ever,
haven't we all?
Yeah, it only becomes more troublesome when it's like significant and you put like a 2-year marker on a player. Yeah. And like the difference between a player, I mean, this would be like a whole birthday situation of, you know, the weird age stuff we've come across in years past. But like when a guy's like not 22 and 24, we're like, oh, that changes the kind of vibe of what level this prospect is at. But all right, I filibustered for enough time for you.
Nope, you're good. I'm back on and ready. Jackson Merrill is no longer under my filters. He's 20.35 years old. So I am going with Ethan Salas.
Oh, come on. You can have Jackson Merrill. Give him Jackson Merrill Cross. He's now ruining my draft.
Well, I figured if I took Merrill, you would go Salas next. But Salas is the next highest on my board ranked, and he's 17 and in double A now.
Yeah, he's definitely not above 20. We can confirm that easily.
We can confirm that he is still the age of some high school juniors, which is – nuts to think about. Like, it's just weird to think that like he's younger than most of the prep guys are gonna be drafted next summer.
Yep.
It's crazy to think about, but here he is and he's in double A. Like, that's so wild. I didn't expect that, honestly, the promotion, but he's been stellar all year. I understand, like you say, oh, he wasn't good in 9 games in high A, whatever. There's more to the picture here because 1, double A season goes a little longer. 2, San Diego wants him in double A with that development staff there that he's going to spend the rest of the season with. And they're excited about him being with this staff in double A for now at least a month, if not more. So that's a big deal. And that's one of the reasons they went ahead and pushed him to double A. And so I don't think there's a lot of stock to be put in his performance at double A. I mean, we are talking about somebody who just turned 17 in June. So I'm not particularly worried about how he performs in June or in double A. He's going there to work on things, to work with this staff, and hopefully continue to develop. So Ethan Salas is a special player.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
I think he is a better real life than fantasy aspect, but he's still in my top 20 for fantasy at this point because, you know, I do think the bat's pretty special in what we've seen him do so far this year. Pretty spectacular. And so I'll bank on this and Ethan Salas here with my pick.
Yep. Can't go wrong with that, obviously. Salas up to double A, just 17. It's just crazy to think about. It's just, have we ever seen someone this young at double A? I can't remember. I mean, even like last year, like Jackson Churio was like, oh my God, he's 18 in double A. I mean, that makes Churio look freaking old for double A, at least comparatively.
A lot of people ask that question in the preseason, like, who's this year's Churio? And what they meant was like a guy that would go from, I use it lightly, the word obscurity, to like all the way up, you know, way right up levels. And that was Salas, because Salas skipped, even though I don't think we're going to have one of those every single year, Salas was special. And, you know, I was with their agent, and, you know, credit to him for a different thing. And he was like, straight up, he's like, he's going to start at A ball. And I was like, okay. I'm like, sure. And that's what happened. And the guys at double A, it's absolutely unheard of. But, you know, this was, he was one of my, you know, my foot down on it, guys. If, you know, in the preseason when the J class started up, you know, Felon Selston got a lot of people excited, but I absolutely fell in love with him. I fell in love with the hit tool, the maturity as far as he is as a catcher. He's an advanced bat and an advanced defensive player, and you can tell all of those things are not just lip service to me or any other person that's thrown him out there. This team believes it. Yeah. What we look and we're like, what does it serve to push a 17-year-old guy to double A? I saw people being like, why? Well, I think the reason behind it is they think this kid is going to be able to help soon. And you also have to look at the roster construction of how much money this team has spent on stars. They're going to need controllable young assets to be able to fill in those spots sooner rather than later when you dump out $1 billion to like four players. And that's something that they can get out of Salas with a lot of years of you know, control. So, you know, he's a special player. He's a definitely special player. And I'm very mad that Clegg took him.
But who are you taking here to spite Clegg? Who are you taking to get back at him?
I'll bet you my guys are not spitey. They're probably a little bit more of me. I will tell you I am torn.
Because I know one of them. Given the
You clearly know one.
Given the prospect mock draft, I got a feeling that one of them might have the same initials, first and last name.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the ones I'm battling. Let me do this one first, and we'll just lock in Sebastian Walcott. I think, is a pretty easy bet to go with here, even though there are some worries. But he's 17 years old. He moved from the Dominican Summer League up. Or actually, I'm sorry, you know, it was the Dominican Summer League in 2021. Last year, he had gone rookie ball. I think I completely forgot about that. Rookie ball to A ball. And then this year, straight over to... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at Gabriel Gonzalez. I was about to say, that was confusing the hell out of me. He went from Dominican Summer League to rookie ball, which was a big move here mid-season. When he was struggling, by the way, in the Dominican Summer League, only hitting like 161. He came out here and he showed off the good and the bad. He has a huge ability to barrel a ball. Big max EVs. Explosive ability to turn on pitches. I mean, there's a homer on my timeline. If anyone wants to go and take a look at it, he hit over at Camelback Ranch where it was like you throw him a steak and he can immediately turn and burn that thing. He can run. He's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder as well. The negative is pitch recognition. I saw him take sliders just first pitch, second pitch, just sliders. He did not know how to read them. And then it put him on his back foot adjusting to fastballs. His positive is like he can adjust and he can fight off pitches, but I think that's putting him in bad counts and it's leading to higher strikeout numbers. But he is an insanely special talent. So even though there are warning signs, you know, if you were to look at a data system, you're going to see a pretty high strikeout rate that I think is going to turn a lot of people off. It's not going to turn me off because he can hit for huge power. He can run. This is a bat that is going to move a long way. And you want to talk about your own mock, Eric. I think Ponce took him 15 or 14 or 15, you know, so he's highly sought after. I'm going to take him. My battle is I'm going to see if a player comes back to me then. And I will take the guy you were talking about that you thought I would take, and that's Gabriel Gonzalez, who I do love me some Gabby Gonzalez. He's still 19 years old, 16 homers, 9 stolen bases, hitting over 300 so far in high A. Or he's gone through two levels at least. He's gone A ball and high A. He's struggling a little bit in high A, but 348 in A ball. The RotoWire batted ball data is pretty impressive for him, simply because you've got an almost 34% hard hit strength, which speaks a lot to what I saw from him in rookie ball, because I think a lot of people saw a non-developed, smaller power, non-power outfielder, where, again, like kind of Walcott, I saw him absolutely turn with a launch angle-based swing. And I think he's kind of a piece of everything. I think he makes a ton of contact. He gets on base. He's done it to maybe smaller statistical degrees this year. 16 homers, 9 stolen bases isn't going to like make anybody freak out with a low walk rate. But he's been young. I mean, he's at high A at 19 years old. He will not be 20 until 2024. So put that into context. The entire year, he was able to move two levels with a pretty aggressive assignment. I think Gabriel Gonzalez is a pretty special talent. But I am leaving someone on the board that I didn't want to leave, but I will go with Walcott and Gabriel Gonzalez.
All right. Obviously, two great picks. Clegg, who are you going back with?
Yeah, I'm curious if I think I know who you won't, but we'll see. Because
then stay off of him. Clay.
Yeah, I'm going to go with my guy in Roman Anthony. Yeah, so
I knew you would.
Yep, I debated. I was going to kind of play chicken with him, but he's going to go eventually. So Roman Anthony is a young 19. He's in high A, and there have been some struggles recently. I see him pretty much nightly down here, and yeah, I mean, there's some concerns. He's still been highly, highly impressive with what he's done with the bump from Salem up to Greenville. He hits the ball incredibly hard. I mean, he's running a 105.5 mph ninth percentile, which is well above major league average, and he's 19, so that's pretty impressive. His zone contact rates are about 86%. He does not chase often at all. He has been exploited more recently with breaking balls. I have seen that. It's almost like there's a card out on him. And I didn't see this for the first month he was up here, but recently I've been seeing him getting just slider after slider after slider. And ultimately, like, there's been some more swing and miss. The data's still been good. And so I'm kind of hedging my bets on that. I mean, we're talking about some really big opposite field power. He's going to oppo a lot for home runs. The dude plays an incredible center field too. Like, I see all the scouting grades as like 40 in the field. The dude is absolutely stellar in the field. Great jumps, good just path to the ball, makes a ton of catches that he shouldn't make. He's going to stick in center field, I'm almost certain, based on what I've seen. And the weakest part of his game is probably his arm, which is irrelevant for fantasy. But we're talking about a center fielder that has power, has some speed, and really good OBP skills, and good contact as well. So big Roman Anthony fan. Have been for a while, and now it's just kind of been more evident than ever now that I get to see him.
Where do you have him overall?
I have him.
Like, you don't have to give me, you have to give the exact number, but like range.
20th.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. You are aggressive on him. I love it. Love it.
Hey, I'm right there with him. Anthony, obviously, a lot of excitement within the Red Sox org. I'm very excited to see him when he gets up here. You know, maybe next year. I'd probably see him at some point next year, where he's going. But
100%.
Yep. I will come back with my two picks. First one, I'll go to the Cincinnati Reds. I'll go Carlos Jorge, who is just, you know, quietly doing his thing. I would say all the excitement, all the buzz is, you know, around all the guys that are up in the majors or near it, which obviously that makes sense. But Jorge has been in low A for most of the year, got the bump to high A recently, and 93 games overall, 293.90, 463 slash, 9 home runs, 31 steals, 48 walks, and 383 plate appearances. Now, he's always had a pretty good approach at the plate, doesn't swing and miss too much. Can draw walks, a decent clip, get on base, 405 career on base percentage in 182 games. Now, and there's sneaky power there. You might not see it with the home run totals. He has 19 and 182 games, but I think there's still a little bit more physical projection here. Not a ton. That's like this massive amount of projection, but I think he can add a bit of bulk, bit more raw power to the frame. And, you know, he'll be, unless they trade him, which obviously is a possibility given all the other options they have. You know, if he does play in Cincinnati, obviously one of the best, if not the best, hitters parks in all of baseball up there with Coors Field. So I think this could be a really exciting all-around offensive talent. And if you're getting that from the second base position where he's played mostly in the minor leagues, that'll be very, very enticing. So I'll go Carlos Jorge here. I'm trying to figure out who. See, my next guy in my rankings, I know I can wait a little bit on. So now I'm trying to be a complete and total asshole and steal who I think Welsh's player is.
Don't be that. Let me ask you something real quick while you're thinking about being rude.
Yeah.
Is in a situation like this, are you beholden to your own ranks? Because I tried to say this like a million times over, because people get like very worked up, as you guys know, about specifics of things. But I don't feel beholden to my own ranks. I feel beholden to tiers of value, and sometimes it might be telling about how I view a player if I'm willing to be like, oh, hey, I'll see if I can get this guy a little bit later, and I think I can manipulate the draft. That might be more telling, like, because I took Walcott a little bit more aggressive here than I think I might even have him ranked. But I'm just curious to how beholden you are, especially to something like this, because I could see people being like, oh, I am playing for the future, and I don't care about AAA guys. I want guys that are going to be future huge studs. I'm looking for sub 19-year-old players, 20-year-old players like we're doing, and then kind of playing into this game. So I just didn't know how beholden you are to your own ranks, or you think about values or buzz or anything like that.
Oh yeah, I think you have to. I mean, like on the next time my rankings, I think I can probably get a handful of picks down. I know I'm higher on him than most, and so I think I can wait a little bit on him. And this guy, I think, is like there's a lot of buzz around him right now. And I know I've seen, you tweet about him recently. So
what are we talking about here? Well, now I'm excited. You better take that guy. I'm going to figure it out.
I'm going to look at it. I have it narrowed down to two, but I'm going to go see if I'm right. I'm going to watch your facial expression. Lazaro Montez. Nope, wasn't him.
It's a great pick. It's a good pick.
I still like the pick. I wonder if it's the other guy I was thinking of, or maybe I'm completely way off on this. But, Montez has been just absolutely mashing this season. Just recently got the bump up to low A, and it's like every night I feel like he's hitting another home run here. I look at the overall stats so far in 52 games, 37 of which were down the complex level, 15 in low A. He's up to 12 home runs, six of those in 15 games in low A. Overall slashing 310, 454, 632. This guy's a beast. He's listed at 6'3", 210. That's not even remotely close. What do you think, Welsh? 6'5", 240 or something like that?
Montes?
What do you think Yeah.
What do they list him at?
6'3", 210, which is obviously low on both accounts.
Do you see the picture I took with him? I was like leaning back a little bit. No, Montes is 6'4" to 6'5", and Buddy is like, he's like 230, 240 at least.
That's kind of
like,
what I was thinking.
We're not even close.
But like a good 240, though. He's very strong.
Yeah. It's a better 240 than what it was in camp. I saw him and talked to him in camp compared to the body that he's been putting out there over the last 2 months. That has transformed, and that's a very good sign. It didn't go in an opposite direction.
Yeah, it's almost like a Yordan Alvarez body, and that's not a direct comp to Alvarez the player, but there's a lot of excitement here. Obviously, massive raw power. We're talking, double plus raw power. And, he's really made a lot of improvements. It's just being a better pure hitter this year. Contact rates have gone up. Walk rates have gone up. Strikeout rates come down. Everything you want to see. I mean, he's getting on base 45% of the time, 454 OBP, and just keeps getting better and better every month, it seems like, really excelling for low-A Modesto. So I think this is a guy that it's going to be top 25 pretty soon, maybe by end of season. Doesn't provide really any speed outside of a rogue steal here and there. So he's going to need the bat to be there. But this is potential 35 homer bat. And if these gains he's made with contact and approach stick, I'm looking at a middle of the order monster here that's capable of just being a real asset in three categories while providing a solid average OBP as well. So I will go Carlos Jorge and Lazaro Montes, who I think are probably the two most different frames you can draft back to back in this draft here.
Agreed.
All right, who you got, Clegg?
All right, so
hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm wondering if this is Welsh's guy, but he is the next highest on my board, and that is Josue De Paula. Mm-mm. No? Okay.
I got out of that. I mean, listen, I knew De Paula wasn't coming back to me. I knew that, but I don't think when you hear my guy, you won't be surprised, but I'm not surprised he fell back because we do live in a very recency, like, what are you doing for me now type of thing. And I tend to push a little bit on that.
I
love De Paula. Speaking of Yordan comps, Clegg.
Okay. I have a feeling I know who this guy is now.
Yeah, who it is now.
DePaula's been really good. I don't think people realize that. I think everybody just kind of, like, has ignored, like, because there's been so many other guys that have just come up and been really, really good. And it feels like DePaula's gotten left a bit in the dust, but I will say he's really impressed me, and that body and that swing just really screams power to me. And so I could really see him getting into more, even though the game power hasn't been there per se. The contact has been absolutely incredible, and the hard hit numbers are fine. Like, you look at the body, and it's one that you can just kind of dream on. I mean, again, we're talking about a pretty young dude who is, hopefully I have this age right, 18.25 years old, and he's in single A, in full season ball, where most players aren't his age, and He's running, you know, contact rates north of 80%, which is really high end, walking at a high clip, not striking out. Since June, we've really seen the numbers have really kind of ticked up. That's where he started to really take off, hitting over 300 with over a 400 OBP if we look since July 1st. And that's pretty substantial. 311, 426. The slug is not impressive. 370, but making a ton of contact, walking as much as he's striking out. I think, and I'm confident the power comes in this profile. So he's kind of a player I want to bet on. And so in this range, like, I feel pretty good about him.
Yeah. I think that's a solid spot for him, especially if that power comes along. And I think it will as well. All right, Welsh, back to you.
Look at all this like anticipation we've had. And it's either going to be like disappointing or not. But like, I push back sometimes. I love guys that are producing at the highest of high levels. There's absolutely no denying it. But there are just players out there that have massive, massive skill sets that take a little bit more time. And this is a guy that I still rank high. I don't want to come off of completely because I believe in the tools. I believe in some of the work that's happened this season, even though it hasn't been elite. But this is an easy pick for me. I'm taking Tamar Johnson here. If you want to talk about sub 20-year-old players, Tamar has gotten, I mean, a lot of people, even like pre-draft, were still being like, I don't know if this guy is going to like hit because of the body and the size. And it's like, this is like a high school home run winner. You know, this is a guy that has shown off incredible power and incredible hit tool. The batting average has struggled this year. He's only hitting 240, but he's got 17 homers and 8 stolen bases in 304 games. What is something to be a little bit excited about? An over 400 OBP so far this year has been a big push. He has not dominated against a certain-handed pitcher, but I also think you can go and look and say, well, this hasn't been a total epic disaster. You know, he's hitting lefties, 266 so far, and Braden in was it 41 games. I'm going to take that. And I think even though another interesting one is like the hard hit data, at least according to RotoWire stuff, doesn't quite add up to, I think, who the player he totally is. It only shows a 25, almost 26% hard hit strength, which is below average at this point. I think a lot of that comes from the struggles, but a 21%, at least as far as much as they registered, walk rate. He has walked a ton. Good OBP. Great power numbers. I truly believe this is a 30 home run hitter. He's stealing bases in the middle infield, and he's still adjusting, and he has found some of those adjustments, even though the season has been kind of twirling up and down. You want to make a bet. This was a guy that was near the tippy top of values in our most previous draft outside of this year. And Tamar Johnson is someone I'm going to bet on regardless of the results. Like, in my world, as much as I like Carlos Jorge and some of these guys, like, for Tamar to be behind even them, I just think we're not fully betting on the skill set. But of all the guys we've taken, he's the biggest struggle bus player. Of every guy I think we've taken here combined, no one has a worse batting average. So yeah. Tamar Johnson is my top guy. I don't know if you want to, I'll give my next guy in a second, but
I saw Johnson last week for 3 games when Greensboro was down here. And he's a tough out. I'm telling you, he fouled off so many tough pitches, and he was hard to get out. He hit, I think, 2 home runs in the series, and he's really coming on strong. I think it's weird because he's kind of become like a power over hit guy, which is kind of what I saw and kind of what the data suggests. But the contact skills have been steadily improving. So, like, this is somebody that everybody was in on for, like, being lauded like one of the best hit tools of a prep guy. He's small. But, man, he's impressive. He packs a punch, and he has hit some big home runs this year.
So. And everybody just gave up, by the way. That's, like, the wildest thing, too, is it was like, hey, it's a 60-plus grade hit tool, and there's power in there. That might be 55-plus, and he can run. And then 3 months of the season, everyone's like, well, he's just not good anymore. Like, this is never going to work out. And it's like, well, no, it will work out. And it's starting to get into that process. And if he's a 270 hitter, he's going to be a massively successful major leaguer.
Oh, absolutely.
And so I'm all in on Tamar. The other guy I'll make a little bit quicker. I'm going to go with Samuel Zavala with the Padres.
I was going to take Sammy next.
Got to do it. Sammy Zavala, loves Sammy. It was the funniest thing in spring training. I talked to Zavala 3 times. And you want to know what the longest conversation was about? A tattoo. It was not baseball. It was, he was so excited about the arm sleeve he had just gotten. And he was showing me the whole sleeve, how long it took, which was just, he was just a funny, down to earth, not phased by stuff. And he was excited to talk about like the tattoo and all that goofy thing. And that's kind of just stuck with me about being calm, cool, and collected. 14 homers, 20 stolen bases. This is another one of those like median average players at 267, but an over 400 OBP, 420 OBP so far this year. He's done it all in A ball. The strikeouts, a little bit heftier than you want, but again, he's walking. He's going to push 100 walks on the season with 20 stolen bases. That's a guy that can hit at a higher part of the order, even if they're striking out a bit, if you can get on base. The power potential's there. The swing can get lofty, which not in a bad lofty way. Like there's good bat speed. He can get that ball up in the air. He's still building into, I think, the frame. That's the other thing. Like he looks skinny when you see him in person, but he's building into his frame. I don't think this is going to be a halted frame like a Fernando Tatis Jr. I think he can keep going. So this is five tools with high OBP skills. And I think betting on some higher OBP skills that go along with maybe some questionable strikeouts is something I can play with just a massively talented Zavala overall. So I'm actually a little bit surprised that he was still available. Didn't think he would. And then 34.5% hard hit rate, which is very, very tasty as well. So good hard hit numbers, ability to get the ball in the air, power, speed. Let's go with Sam Zavala.
Yeah, I hate that you took him. That's who I had queued up for my next one of my next two picks.
Speaking of a-holes.
Yeah. Gotcha. You're the one being the a-hole, gotcha. Not me. All right, Clegg. So,
this is a fun range. I think it kind of opens up a bit here.
Sure does.
God, there's a couple arms I want to take, but I'm going to stick with a bat. I'm going to go with Xavier Isaac, who honestly I was really wrong about, like, in the draft. And shout out to James Anderson. He was all over him. And I was like, dude, I didn't see anything. And then his data last year was horrific. I'm like, but Isaac proved me wrong this year. Saw him last week for a couple games when Charleston was up here in Columbia. And the dude's a really good athlete. I mean, he is just built. You talk about Lazaro Montes, like that's the kind of build he is. I mean, Isaac is a massive human being. And he's a really solid hitter as well, which is what impressed me. He's got really good discipline. He's chasing in a 22% clip, which is very impressive, showing a lot of walks. I mean, we know there's massive power there, but it's backed by 108-mile-an-hour ninth percentile EV, which is just absolutely elite for somebody that's his age. He's got big power. He runs well. That surprised me. Like, he had some infield hits that he was hustling, and I'm like, okay, this guy moves really well for his size. He's a good athlete. There's some contact questions at times, I think, especially against lefties. But ultimately, this is a young kid, 6'4", 240, big game power, solid field of hit, and really good OBP skills. There's not going to be any stolen bases, but I think Isaac's just one of those mashers that you want on your team. And he certainly matched up with what I was hoping to see when I saw him in person. So I really like Xavier Isaac, and I was totally wrong about him coming into the year.
I think you weren't the only one. I was definitely wrong on him as well, and I definitely saw you taking him there, though. I was looking at my rankings, looking who was like in this range. I'm like, oh, Clegg's got Isaac kind of penned up here. But all right, I'll go to two. I will start with – I'll go one hitter, and then I might go a pitcher with my second one. I'll go Jet Williams for my first pick here. Undersized for sure. He's only listed at 5'6", 175, but dude is a tough out at the plate. You know, very good pure hitter. We're looking at like a plus hit tool, plus speed as well. So he's got those kind of skills to fall back on. You know, solid, not great defender. I think he could stick at shortstop. We'll see. There's a lot of moving parts in that infield long term with the Mets. Obviously, they acquired, you know, Angel Acuña as well. So we'll see how that works out. But I think he could play some shortstop if that's what they want him to do. If not, probably moves over to second base long term. But I like the bat a lot. He's a good pure hitter. The approach is really solid. Almost as many walks as strikeouts. Keeps the swing and miss in check. It's on base at a super high clip this year between low A, high A. 429 OBP, 261 average, and a 441 slug. But he's really come on lately and starting to hit for a little bit more power over the last several weeks as well. Hit three home runs in 24 games in June. Two in 21 games in July, three in 18 games over here in August. So really starting to tap into that power a little bit more. I mean, he's not going to be more than, 15 home run hitter or something like that. But that comes with, you know, a pretty good average, high OBP, and 25, 30 steals, maybe even a little bit more than that. I think you're going to be very happy with your investment. So, yeah, he's in my top 50 now overall and probably, you know, could be top 25, top 30 by end of the season. Next one, I'll go with my highest ranked, you know, under 20 pitcher, a guy that I just fell in love with this season. Another guy that recently just got the bump up and all the Padres promotions. I'm going Robbie Snelling here, who just turns in really good start after really good start after really good start. He's 18 total starts, 11 down in low A, Lake Elsinore, 7 for Fort Wayne, and overall 1.88 ERA, 1.09 whip, 94 strikeouts to just 24 walks. And he's showcasing above average or better command and control, and he's got a really good fastball, curveball mix. I think those are both plus pitches. And changeup lags behind a bit, but starting to get a better feel for it. If that could just be a, you know, serviceable third offering here to offset the fastball, curveball, you know, I think you're going to have a, you know, high end number three, maybe a back end number two, not an ace upside, but I think this could be, you know, potentially a number two starter at the major league level. A guy that's just very advanced for his age, keeps the walk rate very low, got the good pitch mix, especially the fastball, curveball. Like him a lot, and he's just been absolutely shoving all season. So Jet Williams, Robbie Snelling are my two picks here. Back to Clegg.
To make a bold prediction on Robbie Snelling, I think he is a better – he'll be ranked as a higher pitching prospect than Ricky Tiedemann by next year.
Okay, so you're – I'm very conflicted right now with this because obviously I like that saying because kind of validating my pick here. But you know I'm a big Tiedemann guy, too. So I'm very conflicted with this.
I think we're underestimating Tiedemann's injury a lot.
There's a lot going on. That's definitely the red flag. Obviously, Tiedemann, elite talent, but where's the durability long term? So yeah, and definitely agree with you there. But
he can't pitch deep into games either. That's the concern.
Absolutely, and that's been the concern since, you know, kind of last year too, when the you know, kind of first started having issues before he missed time. So
yeah. Snelling's a freakishly good athlete too. The dude was a 4-star linebacker recruit going to LSU to play football.
Yep,
like. I just think there's so much more with the fastball there. Like, I think he's going to be mid-90s, like sitting 95 consistently next year. Yep. And with those secondaries, I'm way in on Snelling. So Snelling was my top pitcher of that age group. So I'm going to take my next pitcher, and that's Noble Meyer, who's my next.
I just quietly was sitting here just wanting Noble Meyer because you talk about Snelling not being an ace, like, or maybe not that. Noble Meyer will be, and Noble Meyer is, and this is like one of the highest upside ceiling pitchers there. So sorry, Clegg, but that one hurt the soul a little bit.
He looked so good in his single A debut. That sinker was absolutely nasty, sitting 95, 96 with just a ton of arm side run, like up to 19 inches of run, just absurd. It was beautiful to see. The slider was sharp. He threw a curve that looked good. Like, and I think he's going to develop a changeup. Like, Miami develops changeups so well. Like, it's just what they do. So I could see them developing a changeup, and he could be just a four pitch mix guy. And he just screams ace upside. Like, I don't throw that label around lightly. I have very few arms I'd say that about, but watching him is a prep. And then that start in Jupiter, like, whew, he was special. I think he's going to be a massive helium guy, and he was already high ranked in FIPDs, but if he finishes the season like I think he will, he may be like pushing like top 6 or 7 in FIPDs, and I wouldn't blame people at all.
I'm not sure there's another pit, by the way. Just if we were to go to 30, which I know we probably aren't here, I don't know if we would, like, in my eyes, I don't think there's really another pitch. There's like maybe two other sub 20 year old pitchers I'd consider, but I don't think there's a slam dunk. The slam dunks were Snelling and Noble Meyer. Those are the two that needed to go here, and then we're done.
Absolutely. Yeah. As I was looking, so I have my spreadsheet filtered to just under 20. And yeah, those are the only two that are in my top 30 for this filter. I have one that's at 31st, and then the next one is like, there's a cluster at like 42 to 44. So yeah, maybe one more, but I don't think, I think we'll probably go 21 picks here. We're already at 45 minutes, so keep it around an hour. Probably go 21 picks. So yeah, I think that's probably the last pitcher. But yeah, Noble Meyer, obviously, like I tweeted out the other day, like, I don't like to throw on that term ace upside often, but he absolutely, like, when it's warranted, it's warranted, and it's warranted with him.
So these are my last two picks. I will say there's a couple names, if we get to the end, I could throw out that I really am considering that I don't think are going to get drafted. But the two names I'm going to go with here, I'm going to go with one complex guy, but it's not out here. It's over in the Florida League. I'm going to go with Roderick Arias with the New York Yankees. 18-year-old shortstop, 6 homers, 17 stolen bases. Another similar vibe as Tamar Johnson, where the batting average struggles a little bit, but there's big homer potential and big OBP potential. Again, this is another one of those things you can start to monitor. Who are guys that find ways to get on base if there were any strikeout issues? There's not really necessarily here. This would be that guy. Roderick Arias, 27 walks to 29 strikeouts in the Florida League this year. 17 stolen bases, money. Surprisingly more homers than any other extra base combined, than doubles and triples, but he has got a violent, awesome, violent in the best way type of swing that is going to generate big power if he's making consistent contact. So would you like for him to hit higher than 267 in complex? Yes, you would. But is it appropriate age to level? Yes, it is. This is an 18-year-old guy on his first bout of stateside who is showing really every positive turn outside of hitting 300-plus that you would want, plus some just crazy intermediate skills. So, like, Roderick Arias is a pretty easy one for me. The other one is going to be a little bit different than a lot of these, like, crazy high upside big power guys that I'm going with. But I'm going to go with the guy who started the year, I believe, is the youngest full-season player, and that was Nelson Rada. And I believe Nelson Rada did that before Salas got pushed up, because Salas stayed in extended spring training for a little bit. And Nelson Rada has spent the entire year in just A ball with the Angels, which actually is hilarious because how often do they do that? But this is a really young kid who is going to be turning Eric, his birthday is Thursday. He turned 20 on Friday. I get him though. I still get
him. You got him.
This is literally the scenario that I built. It's Nelson Rada because he turns 20 years old on Friday. But 48 stolen bases. He has got 130-plus points differential between his OBP and batting average. He's only hit two homers, but he's got 14 other extra bases he's done. He walks a bunch. He doesn't strike out at an alarming rate. He steals all the bases in the world, and he's incredibly young to level right now. We build some bigger body size on here, and you start generating some more power. Watch out for Nelson Rada. I'm going with the 17-year-old upside outfielder, even though he's technically going to turn 20 on Thursday. Thursday.
My question is, if he's 17 now, how's he turning 20 on
Oh,
Friday?
You're right. It was just his birthday. Damn it. You're right. Okay, he's turning 18. Aren't we doing the 17 younger? You're right. I was just thinking, I got focused on birthday. So he's turning 18 years old. So happy staying up past midnight, Nelson Rada. Dude, you can now do that in professional ball.
You had me a second, like, looking at his, like, page. I'm like, wait a minute. He's not 19 years old.
I got so hyper-focused on the birthday. I was like, we found a birthday. That was the day before this airs. Right. But he's only going to turn 18 years old.
Happy 18th birthday, Nelson Rada. Your birthday present is that the infamous Chris Welsh took you in this mock draft.
What an honor.
On the Toolshed podcast. What an honor. Absolutely. What a birthday present you just gave that young kid. So, all right. So, do you have your last pick? That's your last pick. All right. Clegg, wow. Your last pick.
Dude, I'm really torn. There's several guys that I want. I kind of want to take another pitcher, but I'm not. We mentioned those two guys for sure. I'm not going to take him, but I do think that Dylan Lesko belongs in this range. So I'm going to pass on Lesko.
That was the third guy I was talking about. That was like right in this range for me.
Yeah, he's in that range for me. So he's there, but I'm going to reach a bit. I think it's a reach. I'm not sure, but I'm going with Yoenndry Vargas, the Dodgers. I'm just way in on what Vargas has done this year. He's an incredible athlete. Got a ridiculously good frame. Like, you think about Sebastian Walcott's frame, and you know, Yoenndry Vargas is right there with him. I mean, running really good contact numbers in the DSL, hitting home runs, stealing bases. He's got 7 home runs and 19 stolen bases, a ton of extra base hits. I mean, he's played 47 games and he has 20 extra base hits, so you love to see that. Walking as much as he strikes out. And I know we take DSL numbers with a grain of salt, but this kid can play ball. There's a good bit of film out there on him. And so I'm just going to reach, I think, a bit. I have him at 100 overall. So I have a couple guys ahead of him, but Yoenndry Vargas is my guy here who I'll take with my last pick.
Yeah, I don't think that's a reach at all. I think he's definitely, this is a good range for Vargas and having a very good year. And it doesn't really get quite as much love as it probably should. It's just surprising given that he was one of the bigger names in his international class, too. So I'm surprised he's not. I mean, there is some buzz, but it's not quite as much as it probably should be, or as much as we probably think it would be. I'm going to round out the show, Mr. Irrelevant, with the guy that I actually have ranked a good amount higher than this, that I've let fall because I knew he would. And that's the thing. Like, know your own rankings, but know how your rankings compare to the rest of the room and just know the room that you're in. Obviously, I know obviously Chris and both Chris is very, very well. So I knew I could get him a little bit later. I'm going with Hector Rodriguez from the Cincinnati Reds, currently low A Daytona, 100 games there, 293, 348, 512, 23 doubles, 9 triples, 16 home runs, 17 steals, been caught 5 times. You know, doesn't walk a ton. You know, he's never really been a high walk rate guy, probably never will, been aggressive, but at the same time, doesn't strike out too much. Like the walk rate, he's only had 84 strikeouts in 100 games, running a 19.1% strikeout rate. So it puts the ball in play. And I think there's, you know, sneaky power here as well. That's the power grade was, you know, not really thought of highly by many, you know, places. And we look to see where they have scouting grades, you know, but I think there's, you know, at least average raw power here that'll play up in a place like Great American Ballpark. And even though he doesn't run, you know, only to 17 steals, I think there's, you know, above average to plus runner here as well. So I think we could be looking at a 55 hit, 50 power, 55 to 60 speed guy that gets to play probably in Great American Ballpark. I think absolutely, as long as he can keep that K rate in check and not get too aggressive, I think you're going to have a pretty good all-around player offensively that still is pretty undervalued, I think, in dynasty leagues. But anybody, Welsh, anybody you're kind of looking now at your board here that you may be surprised didn't go or maybe upset that you didn't take?
I don't know if there's anybody I would say that I'm surprised didn't go, though I would say there's five names that jumped out to me. I think one of the most obvious, and it's obviously like why he didn't, but you just got to still talk about it, is Drew Jones. Like, none of us took Drew Jones in here. Mm. Drew Jones is still age to level. I have him ranked higher in where you would take him. But, you know, all things considered with everything that's going on for this exercise, I'm not sure it behooves anybody to like jump in on him right now. He's going through body stuff with injuries and a changing body and a changing swing that has changed 3 times over. I've seen him so much and I don't see a lot of positives and haven't heard a lot of positives, but you know, the talent is through the freaking roof. That was one of them. A couple guys that were really standing out to me. What Dylan Head is one of those. Lots of stolen bases. Just hit his first homer the other day. He's hitting really well out here in Complex. Felon Selston is another one of those. He hasn't played and he got hurt, but you know, you want to talk about the international market. And a guy that I was really kind of battling, well, there's a couple of these two, were Ralphie Velasquez, who I just saw with the Guardians the other day, is a tremendous physical presence and easy, just flick of the wrist power he had. And Colt Emerson with the Mariners. I've been a big Ty Pete guy, but Colt Emerson is hitting like 500 out here. He's making consistent contact, power speed, making all the right decisions. That, like, there's a lot of really good first-year player value when you want to talk about sub-20, and just don't forget that. I think it gets mixed. Sometimes it goes too high, sometimes it goes too low. You know, there's other guys like Kevin McGonigal, Ty Pete, who I mentioned. These are Colin Houck. These are some players I really like that people don't know how to value because of first-year player, but some of the ones that are starting to pop off are guys to pay attention to, even Cooper Pratt with the Brewers. You know, these are high first-round players that I would be pretty hyper-focused on over, you know, some other sub-20-year-olds that have been of, you know, days of futures past. You know, Christian Hernandez is one of those guys that just kind of like looms out there for all of us that we can kind of stare at. And I guess I'm sorry I'm taking all of them, but like Luis Lara is actually now the one I'm thinking of that I'm surprised didn't get taken. So those were guys that were all ruminating around in my brain that I would have taken had we gone a little bit further.
Yeah, the next two, just to add two more real quick, two that I probably would have been considering with my next set of picks here, Arjun Namala from Toronto and Samuel Basalo as well. I think those are two guys that are definitely starting to come into play at this range of the rankings. But any other names to add to that, Chris? Chris Clegg?
Yeah. The only other one that I'll add is Luis Baez of the Astros, who I like a lot. Outfielder. He was dominating the Complex, and he hasn't hit for the power that he did at the Complex in single A, but still hitting for really good average, good field to hit, great contact numbers. So Luis Baez is pretty interesting. He's in my top 100 overall, so like him a good bit.
Awesome. Well, that is going to wrap us up. Welsh, as always, it's a pleasure. Always love talking with you. You know, we talk obviously a lot through text and whatnot, but yeah, give the good people a quick rundown of all the great stuff you got going on.
Yeah, just follow me on Twitter. Is it the Welsh? You can hear me on The Athletic. You can hear me on CBS. I'm on a lot on Fantasy Pros, and I got my own stuff. Most relevant here is Prospect One. I just do a lot. I'm out there a lot, so appreciate any of the people that support me. If you want to support, check out those places. But, you know, follow me on Twitter is the best place to, like, see the things I'm doing. Also out at, you know, Complex League games and sharing video. I shared the Ralphie Velasquez video, homer video from this weekend was mine, if anyone saw that, and Kyle Manzardo and stuff like that. So I am all around the baseball space, so just follow me on the Twitters to follow along. Thanks for having me, guys. That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. Got a lot of good picks and a lot of interesting talk there. Obviously, you know, follow Chris Welsh if you're not already. Is it the Welsh? Go check out Prospect One, the Patreon, all that good stuff. Check out both Chris Clegg and my personal platforms as well, thedynastydeco.com, toolshedfantasy.com for all our extra work there. And we will be back with you all next time. But until then, everyone take care.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.